Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watched on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, everybody. I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving.
Right. Or a holiday break, whichever.
On a holiday break, right, if you don't celebrate.
Yeah. Happy Native American Heritage Day. Indigenous American listeners, if there are any out there. How was your Thanksgiving, Lon?
It was good. It was nice. No family fights this year.
Oh, that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Did you go with that whole turkey type of thing? Yeah,
my brother made a turkey. It turned out okay. My girlfriend's ham, though, was a bit dry.
Ooh.
We made the most of it, though.
Oh, okay. I kind of had a cheated Thanksgiving dinner. I made turkey meatball. Does that count?
That actually sounds good. Yeah
turkey meatball with the usual, the sides, right? Because I'm not a turkey person. I'm more of a sides person. So, yeah, I think the sides were good. Better than the turkey, actually. But anyway, I digress. Lon, have you ever seen anyone propose with a seashell or a conch?
Did he show us the ring earlier?
No, I don't think so.
I called bullshit on that.
I called bullshit. He totally did not have a ring. That guy.
Yeah, I called bullshit.
He said he lost everything. No, you did not get her a ring.
It's tragic that everything was lost in the hurricane, but, you know, to say that the ring was taken, I'm like, come on.
Come on. Really?
Yeah. The shell was a sweet. It was a nice gesture, though. It was a beautiful shell. The shell was too clean, though. We're talking about Ellie and Victor for those who haven't caught on yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that shell, I mean, he just happened to find a random shell and it was already nice and shiny and clean. I'm like, come on. this is too much.
Do we want to talk about the argument they had the night before?
Oh, I thought it was over.
We already talked about it. Yeah. We talked about it before, right?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. They showed some more of it on the wedding episode, but the one before everyone gets married. And I thought it was over. So, you know, again, TLC up to their tricks of leading us one way. And I thought it was done. He doesn't want this anymore. He's so over it. And obviously she compared their relationship to like the island being ravaged and in shambles and stuff. And then she went from that to saying yes to the shells.
Say yes to the shell.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, let me ask you this. Does he sound arrogant when he said, I'm giving you a house in an island paradise? Did you catch that?
Yeah. I don't know if it was arrogance, but I kind of know what you mean. Like, okay, let's let's not make this bigger than it is. I mean, it's great living on an island and stuff, but I'm not trying to knock on him, but this is far from like, you know,
a paradise.
Right. Yeah. Right. In the condition it's in. Yeah. And in the condition it was previously in as well. It was definitely, I would say, a modest living if they were to have a bar out there and to make renovations on the house that they did have.
Yeah.
But he seemed to have oversold it, I think, when he was speaking like that.
Yeah. It sounds like Providencia is a new tourist destination, because he did mention that it was only touristy 10 years ago.
Right.
10 years ago. So before that, I guess it was an undiscovered island, or maybe not a touristy destination.
Yeah, so, I can get that. Yeah. So and his view of the island is a lot different, having lived there for a very long time and having experienced it before, you know. And so his views are definitely different in terms of finances and how they can make it. And, you know, according to him, they would be just fine without tourist season. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I still stand by Ellie's philosophy, which is, well, okay, long term, what is it going to be? You know, what if tourists don't come, right? Because we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
The island is still in recovery mode. Like, how are we going to survive? And he's just brushed it off like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be okay. Like, how? without her money, how?
Yeah.
You know, but I think he acted like he had a chip on his shoulder. Maybe he felt a certain kind of way whenever she brings up the topic on money.
It was pride.
That was not her fault. That's him feeling a certain kind of way, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think we talked about this before, but maybe I might have mentioned this to you in person, Lon. She's back in Seattle. I think someone had snapped a photo of her at her pizza parlor.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Newsflash, WTFT. Someone recently snapped a photo of Ellie working at the pizza restaurant or parlor that she owns in Seattle. So she's back in Seattle.
You just can't believe anything that's on this show anymore, man.
Yeah, dude. Are they a real couple? Or are they? Maybe
I don't know.
Over. And maybe she's back here and, I mean, he's just waiting out the visa process or something. I don't know.
And yeah, that could be it.
That means that it's going to be what? 90 Day Fiancé?
90 Day Fiancé.
Right? Next time we see them, maybe. But I'm over their story. Like, I'm not interested in them as a couple. I don't know about you.
Same. Yeah, same. They're just not interesting enough.
Yeah. Another couple that I'm not keen to see again is Evelyn and Corey.
I'm glad it's done. Yeah. I hope it's done.
I hope it's done.
Yeah, I hope it's done. I'm glad it's over. But dang, like, did he say like it was seven? Was it seven years that the friend said? So yeah. We only got to see a few of those years of it once they were on the show.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It was enough.
Yeah.
What we got to see on the show was enough.
Yeah. Did you catch the conversation he had with his brother? Which I thought was kind of sad and relatable to me because I know how it feels like to be apart from family and your family feels that you're drifting away from them. But it's like the ultimate sacrifice that you make for love, right?
Yeah.
I guess the thing that rubs his family the wrong way is the fact that Evelyn doesn't want to live in the US and pretty much gave that ultimatum to Corey that if he doesn't come with her and live in Engerbau, the relationship's over. So the family saw it as, oh, you chose this person over us, is how I
get that. I get that. I'm glad you said that because he chose, right?
It's his
in the end decision. It was his decision, right? So I didn't like that they kept putting that on Evelyn. She's making him. She disclosed her terms. Those were her terms,
right?
Now Corey's a grown man, right? Corey made the final decision whether to agree to those terms or to say no. Like you said, he chose. Right. He was given a choice. She didn't make him. He was given that choice whether to follow her or to stay with his family. So I made that note too. Like, wait. Hold on. That's not fair to put this on Evelyn. I think we're all entitled to the things that we want. And she said, well, here's what I want. Like, what do you want? And he made the decision himself to follow her.
Yeah.
So she didn't make him do anything. And she's not making him stay away from his family. He has a say in this relationship. He chose to follow her. Yeah, maybe she doesn't like it, but like it was a choice. And he made his decision. So that's on Corey.
Do you think his family is being harsh by not attending the wedding? I feel bad for Corey because he said, like, look, you guys may not see eye to eye with Evelyn or my decision to live in Ecuador, but at least attend the wedding.
Yeah. Again, everybody has their own decision or their own reasons why they won't attend. For me, I don't really see it as a big deal. Just weddings aren't just for me. They're just not like super important. If somebody said I can't attend your wedding, I'd be like, hey, that's fine. Cheaper for me. Like it's not a big deal for me. So it's hard for me to see what people are like halfway offended or even super offended when people can't attend or say, no, I'm not going to.
I can see why Corey's offended or, you know, at least upset because he doesn't have anyone on his side to witness this special event. whereas most of the guests are hers.
He had a cute little dog with a bow tie.
Yeah, puppy, right?
A puppy, yeah. What is it, a Siberian husky or a Malamute, yeah, or whatever?
Well, yeah, I guess if you consider a dog as people, then yeah, I guess he has one attendee and Raul. You know, well, the wedding crasher.
Cats are people.
Cats are people.
Apparently.
And by the way, listeners, because we just came back from a break, we're covering both episode, was it 13 and 14? This is right. The last one was 14.
The pre-wedding and the wedding and episode, the wedding. Yeah, this episode. Time.
Yeah.
For those just joining,
just to catch
we
you guys
took
up.
Thanksgiving week off for family time and things like that.
Yeah.
So we're covering both episodes right now.
Yeah. So... yeah, I was going to ask you like what you thought of, you know, Raul not being included as a wedding guest, but yet still attending.
That was a jerk like, move.
It's almost like Raul doesn't have boundaries or doesn't know the concept of boundaries.
Yes.
Like if you've been told that you're uninvited, why do you still show up? But I get it. He keeps saying like, well, bro, you don't have anyone to represent you. And I don't know. I feel bad. With a guy, but at the same time I'm like, dude, boundaries.
So much of the last like two episodes for me felt set up, felt like fabricated and set up,
totally.
And this in retrospect feels like one of those times, but I was thinking the same thing too. So one, I felt bad. I get it, you're his friend and you weren't invited. I can see that, but come on, to show up despite their wishes on their wedding day and then just to ask for the microphone, that took some like cojones, man. I'm like, hey, are you serious? It turned out good. Thank goodness. It turned out good.
Yeah.
But like, even to be that audacious, to be like, well, I'm going to fucking show up and I'm going to grab that microphone, say my piece. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I was going to say, if that speech was horrible, yeah, that would not be a good start.
No.
But then again, Lon, if you think about it, we're watching a married couple get married.
Get married, yeah.
So we've been conned.
Yeah. To me, though, it almost felt like her family had to motivate and encourage her. Her mom and her sister,
right,
both saying things like, you're doing the right thing, give me a sign and I'll help you through it. It's like she still didn't want to go through this, but like her family's coaxing her, no, you dude, you gotta marry this. And
I have a feeling deep down she really wants it. She wants the wedding.
I think
deep down she wants the wedding.
I think she does, but I get wanting it, but also still wanting that independence. She said something like, and I'm paraphrasing here, a woman doesn't need a man to validate her existence or to validate that she's successful. Yeah. And I guess in their traditional values and beliefs, men complete you. Men complete this whole family structure and men this, men that. And you are less of a woman if you are not married. So I get what she's rallying against if that statement holds true to her true belief. Like, I don't need a man. I never did. It was never my wish that some man complete me. I'm good. So I get that part of it too. She probably does want to be with Corey, but this whole like, oh, well, you got to make it official and he's your husband. Look, we don't need, well, he needs me. I don't need this guy. I'm good, right? So I get that too. I think you can still love a person and you can still want them in your life, but to this particular capacity where you're tied together for eternity by celestial bonds, you know, like, yo, can you give me some fucking space? You know, I get that too. So,
well, okay. So we can agree that the whole Raul thing is probably staged, but I don't think Corey's family not attending is staged. That's probably real unwillingness to attend the wedding.
So you just think they don't like her? Could it be financial reasons? Because maybe Ecuador is expensive to fly.
Yeah, that could be it too. But Corey could have helped.
Yeah, he just paid apparently for a 50K wedding though.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know if that's 50K.
Yeah, I looked at that too. I said, Is that a 50K
that's
wedding?
Not a 50K wedding.
Is that a 50K wedding?
If it's a 50K wedding, that weather is not 50K worth, yeah, though. That was
and
a
it
very
was missing
sad
like centerpieces and all these other like fancy things that I would expect from like, yeah, a 50K wedding.
Yeah, the entertainment looks nice, looks, yeah, really lively and looks great. Like, it's very cultured. But I don't think that costs 50K. That, yeah, might have been an exaggeration. But I was thinking too that maybe Corey's family did not attend because they just straight up wanted to boycott Evelyn. And maybe they dislike her for taking Corey away from them. Because maybe in their mind, right, because, yeah, in their mind, being Americans, I guess, they're like, why don't you come to the US? Why don't you like the US? US is a great place to be. And she basically turned around and said, no, this is depressing. I don't want to be in the US. Like, I don't, yeah, want to be out here in the woods with you guys. Like, I'd rather be living in a shack by the sea or by the ocean in Angabao.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and again, and they might have find that insulting. They might have been like, well, that's a slap in the face. Everyone, yeah, wants to come to the US except you. What?
Yeah. Similar to Armando and Kenny's situation, I think people make too much a deal of the distance, because like most of the married couples that I've seen, unless they've met in the same hometown and are from the same hometown and just never left, they're usually from different parts of the US.
Oh yeah.
And they still have to sacrifice seeing their family. Like one of them at least does, if not both. But like, if you're going to live in one of the other's hometown, one of them is sacrificing seeing their family every single week, month, whatever. And that's just something that I think most married couples have to go through. This whole thing about, oh, you're not experiencing things that are different from what other married couples are experiencing, you know?
Yeah, well, glad that they're donezo with their marriage and with their wedding ceremony. We don't have to see any more of that, please.
Yeah,
I don't want to see any more Corey and Evelyn. But what about Beanie and Ari?
Well, I'm kind of done with them too. I hope things work out for Beanie. And that's kind of just where I want to leave it. I'm tired of this, of watching, like, I don't know. It just seems like there's this constant back and forth of Ari maybe meeting Beanie halfway and giving him this false hope and then saying, oh, well, I take it back. You could probably lose your kid again. Oh, well, like I'm here again and we're smiling for a little bit. Oh, you know, and it's always this constant, like this tension, this back and forth. Like, do you really want to keep your family together? I thought that was the goal.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, like, you don't want to go back to Kenya, right? Was it? Or?
Yeah, Ethiopia.
Ethiopia. Sorry,
go back
sorry.
To Ethiopia. Because.
But like, it would really help with the visa and all this stuff too. And.
Dude, the lawyer said they should go to the interview together, but how the, yeah, hell is she like backing out at the last minute? I'm like,
and then she cries about it again, like, you can totally prevent this. Go, fucking go. And she's like, what did she say? Someone made a meme out of it. I'm the worst.
Yeah, I'm the worst.
Come on.
Like, she doesn't want to give, she doesn't want to go back to Ethiopia because it gives her bad memories or something.
Oh, so over
it. Lamest excuse ever.
I'm so over it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that she's using Avi as like dangling Avi like a carrot to Beanie. It's like a bargaining chip, you know?
Yeah.
It's not cool. All right. I don't know if this is cool or not, Lon, but how do you feel about kidnapping cats for your wedding?
That also felt like fabricated to me. That
really?
Entire
kidnapping cats is fabricated.
Not he the kidnapping it. Of it.
He
but
climbed
like,
a tree.
That just all seemed staged and set up. You know, I like cats and I thought that would be cute to have cats there too, but
yeah, me too.
That just felt very staged. The cats all had names apparently that they gave them, and there's right, they've been there long enough to identify the regulars. And I'm just like, was this really like on the cuff kind of thing? Or, you know, was this thought about? Was this pre-planned? And it all for me just really felt staged. And are those feral cats, or did those cats belong to people?
I think they're feral because Turkey has a lot of them. There's even a documentary about feral cats in Turkey called Kedi.
You watched it?
Yeah, I watched
it. I'm going to have to watch that now. Yeah. If they're feral, you're still putting them in captivity, which makes me sad.
Yeah.
But I think if you're going to release them back, it should be fine.
It's actually traumatizing for cats to be kept in that cage. Yeah, for a long time. Unless you're taking them to the doctors. Like, they don't like to be in that trap. You know, they feel trapped, you know? So
cat people are going to hate me, but I'm thinking, you know, if it's a wedding, you know, I would allow it for this one particular thing.
Yeah,
right?
That's the only time I would look the other way. But otherwise, I feel very irked by his behavior too and how he excluded some cats but included some others.
Oh.
Who's being a cat?
He's a cat-cist.
Cat-cist. Yeah, there we go. But okay, if we just take it for what it is, right, at face value, I thought that was very sweet because
it was a nice gesture. Yeah, That's kind of how I saw it.
Right. In lieu of actual human guests, they had cats. So I thought that was cute. I'm a cat person too. So I'm able to like tolerate that. But Lon, let's take it back like to the previous episode. I was kind of disturbed by the fact that one of Alina's concern is that she hopes that the relationship doesn't become long distance anymore because of the risk of him seeing other people. And I thought that's not a good foundation to start a relationship with, right? It's not grounds for getting married because, oh, I no longer want to be long distance with this guy because you would never know, he might start seeing other people. Like, that's so wrong. That's a red flag.
Yeah, the trust still hasn't been repaired. And it's going to take a while to repair that. And he hasn't done himself any favors to earn that trust. Again, I think the mom nailed it on the head when she said that Alina is making a mistake and that she's kind of blinded by love and she's justifying these things. I forgot what she did. She picked some random paper out of like some street vendor's thing and it said, "You're going to meet a guy." And she's like, "Oh, he's meant for me." And I'm like,
fortune telling.
What?
Or something.
Yeah. That's not how shit works. You know, and I'm trying to knock on anyone's customs, but come on, you can't just say that that's it.
Yeah.
In that episode too, that same episode, even he didn't sound like he wanted to get married. Like the language he was using, he said, "Yeah, I know it sounds stupid and love is about being dumb sometimes." And I'm like, dude, so you're already saying that this isn't a smart decision.
Yeah.
And that maybe you both are being dumb about this right now. This is somebody that before you got to Turkey, you were 100%. You're like, yeah, I'm going to Turkey to get married. I'm going to marry this woman. And that's why you fucking flew over there and you had it figured out. And it wasn't even just this episode where it looked like he was having like these, what is it? Hesitancy, reluctance to get wed. It looked like she was down for it right from the jump, but he was always, it was always him. And then right down to this in the car about to go do it, this thing. And he's already like, sounds like he's trying to psych himself up to make himself feel better about getting married.
Yeah.
Why do you sound like you really don't want this? And if you don't, do her a favor, bro.
Yeah, let the poor girl go.
Yeah. If you don't have it figured out now, this could have just been a vacation and there would have been no pressure. This could have just been, oh, let's travel. Let's travel to Turkey or any other place in the world and spend time getting to know each other. And then we can get on 90 Day Fiancé later. when we're comfortable, when we've known each other better, and we're in a better position to make this kind of decision, right?
He has never expressed interest in living in Russia, has he?
I don't think so.
Because the whole point of them going to Turkey is to get married so that he can apply for visa to live in Russia.
Oh, is that what?
At least that's what I think it is. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's for her to apply for a visa to come to the U.S. But
I forget.
I think
it's like they can't come. Always think it's because the foreigner can't come to America. So they have to figure out some alternative.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah, I forgot. I loved her in her dress, though, the Turkish dress.
Yeah. Oh, so that's Turkish. Okay, I might have missed that part because I thought that was like traditional Russian dress, you know, like an indigenous Russian.
Maybe.
Thing.
In my notes,
but
I wrote Turkish.
It looks like a Turkish dress now that you mention it.
Yeah.
It was Turkish.
It made me like kind of question our own customs and why we do things. here in westernized culture and how it does look nice, but it's also kind of boring. Like every wedding looks the same.
Yeah.
White dresses and black and white tuxedos, right? Like, why do we do that when it's so much more awesome and beautiful to be in her Turkish dress? I don't see that at every single wedding that I go to, right? So
only certain culture, and we're about to jump into the next one that, you know, support your points there, Lon, is I think Indian culture, they stick to their traditional dresses. So when Jenny got dressed up as an Indian bride, yeah, that was something else. She looked really pretty in the getup.
Let's get into it. Let's get into Jenny and Sumit, who finally committed.
Sumit, who finally clicked submit.
Commit.
Sumit, who says submit the marriage application.
Full send. Congratulations, Jenny and Sumit.
Oh my God, finally.
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 But before we get too far away from the dress and stuff, I also wanted to give high marks to Sumit. The pink floral suit was magnificent. I loved it. Yeah. And again, right?
And the shoes, like, man.
And the shoes, yeah.
The Aladdin shoes.
I just look at our weddings and go, it's always the same. Always the same. Sometimes, you know, guys will switch it up. They'll wear maybe blue instead. Or maybe the girls wear a black dress instead. Yeah. But like, it just makes our custom just seem so, it's nice. It's cool. Like when you go to these kind of events and it's formal wear. Yeah. But like our formal wear isn't as like striking and as like, whoa, as like what we saw with Sumit and Jenny and with, you know, Alina's Turkish dress and all these, whenever other countries do their, oh, we're going to put you in some traditional like dresses or garments and stuff, it's like, wow, this is cool.
Well, isn't the whole like standard wedding look, isn't that from like obviously the European tradition where white represent virginity?
So
The brides are wearing white because they're supposed to be virgin.
They have to be virgins. This whole system of patriarchy is just
and colonialism. I guess that's why it's always a white wedding.
Yeah.
Same tuxedo for men. And anyway, so back to Jenny and Sumit. Yeah, they're such a cute couple. Glad that they went through. I think that's like the Indian style wedding where they walk around and they tie their fabrics to each other, the fabric from their clothing.
So is that not Muslim?
No, that's Hindu.
Hindu, that's what I meant.
Yeah, they went to a Hindu temple.
Ah, that's right. Right. Hindu.
They fed the Brahmins, which is the priest. And, you know, in the Indian caste system, the Brahmins are like top of the pyramid. So, you know.
Already not a good look, though, right? Isn't that an omen that she effed up the food ceremony?
I think she was walking back. I think her dress might have
grazed the food.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was like,
they would have turned you into an animal.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, really, Sumit? You still believe in that? I can only imagine how that was, you know, in medieval times when, you know, anyway, I don't want to, you know, go down a rabbit hole, but yeah, back to the positive stuff, right? So they did the traditional Indian / Hindu wedding ceremony, which I thought was really sweet. And he bought her a cow. Or he brought a cow.
For blessings.
For blessing. Right. Oh, I think it's either blessing or dowry. But maybe it's more like blessing. Yeah.
I thought they gave it to the...
The temple. Yeah.
The temple. Right. Here's my take. I feel like we got played again. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because everything was resolved like sequentially, right?
Yes,
like, everything just got like smoother now. Everything is A-okay. And at the end of the day,
I just felt like everyone got married and the timing was, it was the story arc.
Yeah.
It was a story arc. We were fed a story arc.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, this is going to end badly. No, like, it just felt like, okay, we're definitely getting married, but you guys have to give us some conflict. There has to be something, guys. I know I'll fight with my parents this entire season. Jenny will meet my parents. And it just kind of felt like
they'll come over and stay.
Yeah. Because like before they got married and stuff, almost every episode up to that was like, it's not gonna happen, you know, it's not gonna happen. And we see Jenny blow up, and she's finally like, you're full of shit, right? And you're like, yes. And then now he's just like, oh, we're gonna do it. And she's like, we're gonna do it. And I'm just like,
yeah,
what? You know,
Jenny had me there because I thought she really was gonna pack up and leave.
Yes.
And bloody hell, she just went to the temple and had a chat, and like, and even after she was hyped, and I don't know who that friend was, but she encouraged her to leave. And I thought, okay, Jenny's going to do it. She's going to leave, right? And Sumit's going to chase her down at the airport or something. At least make it a little bit more dramatic. But she didn't even leave. She just came back to the house, and he came back to the house, and he's like, I've done some thinking, and, you know, I don't want to let my fear get to me. And
it was all just too convenient, I think.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, TLC, they played us again. Yeah, like, that's how I felt. It was like, we got played. They knew it. They knew they were getting married, but they had to construct a narrative of put doubts in our minds. That seems to be kind of the formula, right? With Alina and Steven, like, okay, put some conflict in there. You're getting married. We get it. Add some conflicts in there and stuff like that. Make the viewer think, oh no, is this going to happen?
Yeah.
Trouble, you know, there's trouble in paradise, you know, and it all ends up happy, dude.
Yeah. Everything's good to go. They are golden. Yeah. But Lon, would you say that Jenny did a reverse catfish on Sumit?
So,
you know what I mean?
I don't know. Because
Sumit catfish her.
Sumit is hard to top. Yeah.
And Sumit catfish her. And he thought, okay, he got the chick, and then he thought he can get rid of her, but he can't get rid of her. Yeah. She's here to stay.
Yeah.
I thought that was a reverse catfish. Right?
Yeah. Again, I still think maybe he was in over his head. But by the end of it, I think they both love each other.
Yeah.
For me, it's hard to not think that maybe he just got in over his head and he couldn't say no, he couldn't back out. And that this was something, he finally got the ball rolling. And once the ball was rolling, there was nothing he could do. Step in front of it, it's just going to roll him over. So he just had to keep going.
That's why I say reverse catfish.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So last couple. Oh, hold on. I was going to say, sorry, I kind of blanked out. And I now remember what I was going to say. I hope this is it for Sumit and Jenny.
Yeah.
I think this is a good ending for them. I do not want to
leave it. Yeah.
Leave it there, TLC. Just leave it
there. Great ending. Yeah. Ended on a high note.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it. Cool. Last couple. And I think we saved the best for last.
Best for last.
What a beautiful ceremony. Everything worked out, right? Even though it was not really a sunset wedding, but still. The entire ceremony is just, first of all, it's a cry fest. I mean, I know a lot of people can't stop crying just hearing the vows and seeing how cute Hannah was, and everything was perfect to me. So all that drama leading up to the wedding was, I almost forgot about it. I almost forgot about the fact that his kids didn't want him to adopt or to have another family or to have another child, whatever the issue was. I almost forgot about the dad. In fact, I think the dad seemed to be okay with everything from the beginning. Again, I think this is the part where TLC just played us, and maybe the dad didn't have a problem, and he seemed to, like, you know, he teared up too, I think. And this was probably the best 90 Day Fiancé wedding I've ever seen.
I really liked it. I really liked it a lot. It worked out. And I would go as far as to say that if there was a genuine narrative here to be explored, Armando's and Kenny's definitely the most genuine. Whether the dad was in on it from the beginning or not, I still do think the problems they face are real. Mm-hmm. And their relationship, like seeing them finally married at the end, reminds me that it really is all a journey, right? And Kenny summed it up perfectly when he said, what did he say? Would I go through this again? And is there anything I would change? And he says, like, I wouldn't change a second of it. Yeah. And it's right, because it's just a journey. It has its ups and its downs. And like, it doesn't matter if you're making wrong choices, right choices. If you stick with it and see it through to the end, you're going to end up where you should be. And all that stuff that they had to go through, like the family struggles, the struggles with government policies and all this stuff, like they weathered through those storms, right? Yeah. And they ended up where they should be, like happily together. And I was glad to see the dad had a nice thing to say when, what did he say? There's no need to put these barriers in our minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, fucking exactly.
See, like now I feel bad because I think that all this while the dad has been okay. They just make it seem like the dad's reluctant
or yeah. Not what if he was receptive? What if he doesn't even know? What if he's like, what? He watches it and he was like, man, y'all made me out to be an asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
I was fine with this from the beginning.
I was just tired.
Yeah,
I didn't want to talk.
I was just tired. I told y'all I don't like to go to these weddings anyway, man.
Yeah,
he was probably like that.
Oh man,
they're now, like, make it so that he doesn't want to come.
Yeah, I know. Now I feel bad. Like the dad was really sweet during the wedding, and obviously, yeah, it was just perfect.
That ass grab though, the Kenny ass grab. I see you, Kenny.
is his bride or groom? So yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean,
let him grab the ass.
I mean, is it really a perfect day?
Yeah, if you don't grab your...
You gotta go all the way for it.
Yeah. But yeah, the after party looks sick. Everything turned out so well. Again, I would say it's comparable to Evelyn's and Corey's ceremony, except the other thing I forgot to comment on their ceremony lawn is that I wish they had taken their... And maybe because they were mic'd up and they were like saying stuff that they weren't supposed to say weren't supposed to be captured, but I felt they didn't take their vow seriously, Corey and Evelyn, because I feel like I probably have to rewatch this again, guys. So I'm sorry, listeners, if you think that I'm wrong here, but I just felt like they were giggling a little bit, they were nervous, and I'm like, dude, you guys are already married, like just fucking say the vows, you know? But I just felt like they could have taken it a little bit more seriously and maybe turn it into a little bit more of a romantic read rather than just okay.
I was rolling my eyes the entire time.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, fidelity, yeah. Got it. Yeah, whatever. But Armando and Kenny felt like it was genuine. It was sincere. It was as if the cameras were not capturing their moment. Yeah, I mean, I felt honored to have shared that moment with them through TV. So once again, thank you, Armando and Kenny, for being the best couple so far that we've watched, or at least I've watched throughout this entire 90 Day Fiancé franchise.
It really felt like a triumphant kind of moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Like this,
we're witnessing something big here.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it is triumphant because previously they were not allowed to be married, but now they were. And you saw them go through the other, I think, formal ceremony where they had to sign. And it was formalized by a government agency, if I'm not wrong, or some sort of, federal agent. I don't know.
Right.
I might be using the wrong term. A government official, I would say. And so they were pronounced husband and husband twice, right, during the ceremony. So, yeah, it just, again, it's triumphant because I think they went through so many barriers and got through it all, and love conquers all.
Love conquers all. What did the shirt say? Love is love.
Love is love. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, Lon, now that we've reached the end of this season of 90 Day Fiancé, The Other Way, season 3, I have to say, Kenny and Armando use their fame in the most meaningful way because I think they brought attention to the orphanage. And through that episode, a lot of people donated to that orphanage, and I thought that's a good use of your fame, right?
They have a platform, right?
They use their platform well because, look, compared to others, what did they use with their fame? Like, they're on OnlyFans, or they're on SodaCam, or whatever else.
What's her face is selling her farts in a jar now.
Oh my God, stop. I don't want to talk about her. How the fuck? I've been seeing that all over, and I'm like, I just roll my eyes, man. I don't want to even talk about it. Yeah. Like, what the?
And I apologize to Armando and Kenny for even bringing that up during while we're talking about their wedding.
Can we end this in a non? Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So, is there even a WTF moment, Lon?
For me, WTF, I think it goes to Raul. It ended well. But I was like, what the fuck? What are you doing, bro? You weren't even invited, bro. Give me boundaries, the microphone. Raul. I have something to say.
Well,
so that was for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess now that you had a WTF moment, mine would be Steven kidnapping the cats and for some reason needing to climb the tree. Like that climbing the tree was so extra. Like, bro, you're not George of the Jungle, man. You didn't have to climb the tree.
Jumping over the sleeping dog with that was extra. When he, I know. He, come on, bro.
So you know that was pre-planned because he had what, 3-4 of those cat carriers?
Yeah.
And I don't know where he got them from because he probably asked around, maybe, or I don't know. So weird. But yeah, that was my WTF moment. So extra. All right, Lon, are we ready to close this out with some WTFT?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I'm not sure if you have any, but I have 3 that I want to share with our listeners. So remember we covered, well, maybe a couple of episodes ago, we mentioned that Juliana and Michael were heading towards Splitsville. Juliana, yes, the Brazilian model who lived with Michael and his blended family. So almost, I would say barely a month after announcing their split, Juliana is now pregnant with a new boyfriend.
Damn. Good for her. Congratulations.
Congrats, but what? That was fast. Anyway, so that's tea number one. Tea number two. Have you heard about Yara's makeup line?
No, I have not.
Okay, so Yara, you know, from Yara and Jovi, recently launched a makeup line called Bougie, spelled as
B-O-U-J-E-E,
Bougie by Yara. And soon after launch, I wouldn't say soon, but like people start to discover that the makeup were toxic. I guess some buyers had a allergic reaction. So I think what a lot of folks don't like about it is the fact that she got her stock from AliExpress and pretty much sell it to people at a upcharge.
Drop shipping. It's a drop shipping business.
Yeah.
And she's getting the products from China and then just branding.
Yeah, rebranding them. Yeah. And using her name and selling it at a ridiculous price. So if you see the hashtag cease and desist, yeah, that's because Yara's failed makeup line. And there's some other news about her too that's not favorable. Apparently, people are trying to call the CPS on her.
What?
Something about, I have to do some research here because I didn't have time to look this up, but something about her mishandling the baby. Maybe she didn't put him in the car seat or something, you know? I don't know. But yeah, apparently some fans of 90 Day Fiancé tried to call CPS on her. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't knock her hustle. You know, there's so many other people drop shipping too. It's pretty commonplace to have a drop shipping business these days. Yeah. And as far as like CPS, I guess, I think she intentionally abuses her child.
Yeah. I feel like that's where fans have to kind of draw the line, maybe. Like,
yeah.
You know, let her live her life.
That's kind of like the whole, was Britney unfit, right? Yeah. And when you get the full story, she's just like, no, I'm just trying to get away from paparazzi. And like,
yeah,
I put the baby in the car seat. I just needed to get out of there. I was trying to keep my baby safe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People need to chill on that. Lasty. So remember Amira, the girl who got detained in Mexico, and Andrew, her supposed boyfriend, went on to enjoy his holiday in the
Isn't she dating that one guy?
That one guy.
Maybe it's somebody else.
No, it's somebody else. It's not Jennifer and Jesse. No. I think.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm talking about. So Amira. Yeah, I know Amira.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so Amira recently put out an IG story asking her followers if they would subscribe to her OnlyFans if she had an OnlyFans. And an overwhelming 65% said no.
Oh, no.
Embarrassing. So yeah,
don't ask if you're gonna do it.
Just do it. Yeah, why do you have
just
to
just do it? Yeah,
but why do OnlyFans?
Right. Well, I don't know. So here's the thing: it almost seems like that's the pathway. That's the pathway. That's the pathway to, how do I phrase this? How do I phrase this? It almost seems like that's the next step, right?
But that's set though.
I know.
Okay. Is OnlyFans set or is Fart Jar setter?
But she had that because she had YouTube content already. Mm. And I think that's how she's reaching her audience. But to me, it just almost seems like people opening up an OnlyFans account to leverage their 90-day fiancé status, mm-hmm. almost seems like a common route. That's all I meant by that. That just seems like a common route now. Like you graduate, graduate from 90-day fiancé and then you open up an OnlyFans.
I don't mind Cameo. But
Cameo, YouTube, there's a, you know, other people have made it on YouTube.
True.
On YouTube. And again, I'm not knocking OnlyFans either. OnlyFans, they're trying to appeal to a wider audience too, right? It doesn't have to be adult content.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they're just like, hey, it's me from 90 Day Fiancé. And they're doing normal people stuff. I don't know.
Normal people stuff.
I don't look at their OnlyFans content, so I wouldn't know, right? Yeah. Unless it gets leaked on Reddit, in which case I'm like, oh, I can't unsee that.
That's the thing about OnlyFans too, is that it eventually does get leaked on Reddit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and for some reason, I just read something about Karini and lactation porn. And I'm like, oh my God, there's such a thing as that. But anyway, I don't want to gross people out. But yeah.
Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, you can show your support by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. It is appreciated and really helps us out. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90dayfiancewtf. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are. Each episode, we might even shout you out. You can find me on Instagram at lan_like_lan, LAWN. Click on the link in my bio for additional socials.
Woohoo. All right. Well, listeners, I hope you enjoy our coverage of 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way Season 3. The next time we record, it would be, what, the tell-all?
The tell-all. Are they going to wait a couple of weeks or is that next?
That's next. I don't know how many parts there are, but I guess we'll wait till we finish all of it before we record again.
You can do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, till then.
Till then.
Thank you for listening. Love y'all.
Bye-bye.